here to tell you this morning that I think Jesus has a word for us, that what's at stake is significant, because I believe that Foursquare has an inheritance, and the inheritance is a spiritual awakening in our generation.
We all have something to learn from each other. We actually need each other. Could it be that our unity is actually an act of worship?
I just want to take 10 seconds to just say, our church is under 100. You don't have to be a large church to have a huge impact for the kingdom.
I think sometimes as pastors, we, especially in our day, we have, you know, famous pastors and rock star pastors, that we feel the pressure to perform. We feel the pressure to succeed so that our peers will be impressed. And the Lord just brought me back to a place of saying, look, you fall in love with me, you keep me first, you desire my presence more than anything else, and you won't be famous, because God doesn't want us to be famous. He wants us to be fruitful.
I've never settled to have anything less than God's best, even in the face of pain. And I know that many of you also are in that place, to where there's times where you just want to give up. But I'm here to tell you that real healing is possible.
What you do matters, but who you are matters more. You cannot give what you do not possess. You can only give what you do possess. You can preach about things that you don't live, but you can't give it away to other people. That's why we need the power of God to descend on us, that we're actually different than the culture around us. We are a people who be, and then we lead out of our being with Jesus. And there comes the power.
We cannot preach restoration of family until we preach reconciliation to Christ.
Let me just tell you this, the stats said that Jesus wasn't rising from the dead. Stats say that I shouldn't be standing here in front of you today. Last time I checked, we beat the stats. The last time I checked, we come from an underground grassroots movement where we have never been Goliath, we have always been David.
I declare unto you, Foursquare, God is doing a new thing among you. Not just remodeling, reheating the old stuff, but he's about to do something your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard. You cannot imagine with your mind the great things that God wants to do. He's doing a new thing. He's going to blow your mind if you continue to worship him and praise him. Don't you miss it. Don't you miss it.
Excellent. Well, hope that you enjoyed that little clip and report from our Foursquare convention in Nashville, Tennessee. There were 4,300 delegates plus their children there at the Grand Ole Opry right there, and it was fantastic. And even preachers just need to be preached at, and it was powerful. This is a great season to be in the Foursquare movement because of what God's doing around the world. The stories are phenomenal. You can find those online. That's the beauty of just social media. But there's been some amazing things that are happening. And this church itself has great stories behind it. You're a part of that. The launching of churches, the launching of ministers. So very, very proud of each and every one of you. So I just want to highlight the joy that we have as a movement. We elected a brand new, we call him President-elect, Randy Remington. He'll step in to his position a year from September 1st as he transitions in that appointment. So it's a phenomenal, phenomenal season. So thank you for that. Talking about great people, I wanted to highlight a couple of individuals. And first of all, would I invite our youth pastors up? David and Michelle Van Schaak are doing a great work. So come on up here and join me, David and Michelle. And so we want to just make sure everybody is aware, and we say hello to those who are watching via live stream. Thank you for joining us. It's a great day to be here in Huntington Beach, isn't it? We always love what God's doing in our city, and we invite you to come be a part of the setting that's here, because it's just so outstanding. It's exquisite. How about just coming to church here at Hope Chapel, leaving your car in the parking lot, and walking 15 minutes to the end of the pier? That's how close, just want to let you know, we are. So the wind of the Spirit, to the ocean breeze. I mean, what a great day. But we love highlighting what God's doing in our community. And today we just want to just give a shout out to some of our graduates. And those graduates for 2019, Hunter Dispress from Huntington Beach High School, Tatum Bounting also from Huntington Beach High School, I'm sorry, Hunter's from Edison High School, and Giovanna Kakbas is from Cypress College with dental hygiene certificate, and then Pierre Iglatios has his Bachelor's of Arts in Performing Arts right there in Vanguard. But we do have one on this service that we want to recognize, and that's Grace Hardacre, graduate of Huntington Beach High School. Grace, come on up and join us. Yeah. Grace has been such an active part, and so the certificate we want to present our graduates, but you are here to present in person and online. How's that? This certificate says Grace Hardacre. This certificate is awarded for maintaining your spiritual growth in Christ while completing your academic studies. May God prosper you and give you good success, Joshua 1:8. And Grace, I want to thank you. I know many of your church family here thanks you. You serve as one of our bass players on our worship team, active in the youth group, active in our children's ministry. So congratulations on graduating. Good job, Grace. Good job. Can we just thank her? Good job. You may be seated. I want to take the opportunity, if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and get that Bible going. You'll notice in the back of the bulletin the outline of today's message. And I want to also just give a quick shout out, because I know it's one of those tender times when people have church family. They often are wanting to make sure that the church is the church. We get to rejoice with those who rejoice. We get to weep with those who weep. And many of you just love and admire the Drake family. And Robert Drake Sr., well into his 90s, went home to be with the Lord a couple of days ago. And we love and admire his son, Robert Drake Jr., as well as his wife, Helen. God bless you both. Their grandchildren, they've served so with distinction here, James and Lacey Garcia, as well as their great-grandchildren of the Drakes as well, Robert Drake. And we're glad Sawyer as well as Izzy. But that funeral service will be this Friday at 11:30. At Westminster Memorial, the chapel is there off a beach, and so I just want to make sure that you are aware of that, 11:30 this Friday. Keep them in your prayers. I also want to say, too, it's amazing how the Lord does miracles, and the lead meeting is tonight. And before we begin, I just want to say 5:30 tonight is where that's going to happen. And I've invited a friend of Hope Chapel here. His name is Kevin Edwards. He's going to come in for about 20 minutes or so, just share stories how God has just gifted him with the gift of faith and the spiritual gift of healing. It's an amazing thing, and since our theme is making a difference, I have seen him literally just put his hand on a person who is very much in pain, and they get healed. It's an unusual gift that he has. What is even more astounding is that he's just an owner of a business. He is not a clergy. And with that, when I ask, how's that healing ministry coming? It's phenomenal. So he's going to be coming, sharing to our volunteer, our team members. And we're going to launch right when our life groups end, July 17th, the first Wednesday. He's going to be teaching for 8 weeks on how to move in that gift of healing. It's amazing. Matter of fact, you might want to ask Andre when he was here this week. Andre's been in severe pain for his knee. I said, well, Kevin, pray for Andre. He did. Andre comes back in tears, said, I have never felt this good in years. And also David Liu, same, severe back pain. Prayed for him. So once that happened, I said, Kevin, do you have time when we're done with our business transaction? Took him in my truck. We go pray for this person. We went over to this person. We prayed. It's phenomenal. And I just felt that this is going to be a great opportunity for you team members to hear his story, and for us as a church to be engaged to say, which I like about Kevin, is that he says Christians just need to know their identity in Christ. If they can just catch that, then they just go ahead and just recognize they can move in this very simply and see what God does. So I think it's going to be an adventure that's going to be wonderful this summer, and I'm so glad that we're going to have Wednesday night church, and it's going to be powerful, and it's going to be miraculous. I claim that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, thank you for opening your word to us this very day, and that as you and I have talked, Lord, do a great work in opening our hearts for you and what your Spirit has to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been looking at Abraham and gleaning from his life and understanding how he has made an impact, making a difference, which is the series that we're in, and understanding what he's all about. Now, it's interesting because sometimes people do make mistakes, and we're going to take a look at a mistake that Abraham has. Matter of fact, today's message is entitled Repetition of the Same Old Sin. Take a look at the back of your bulletin. You want to take a look and make notes, please. You want to highlight too, for you who are a part of our life group, Ainsley and I are filling in for the wall, so immediately after service today, I'm excited we're going to get a chance to be a part of that life group, predominantly a lot of our young adults. But I just want to highlight making a mistake, little joke on the side. Can we do it? Well, anyway, a pilot was flying a very small group of people. There was really three passengers, the Pope, a Boy Scout, and a scientist. And the pilot, lone pilot, had engine trouble, very fearful, and in the process of that, decided to come back to his passengers and say, I've got some bad news and good news. Good news first, we have parachutes. The plane is going down. Bad news, there's four of us and only three parachutes. And since I am a father of nine, my kids need me. I'm taking one of those parachutes, jumps off the plane. Well, the scientist says, I am the most brilliant mind, the smartest man on this earth, and the world needs my inventions. I'm taking one of those parachutes, and he jumps off the plane. Well, the Pope says to the Boy Scouts, young man, you take the parachute. I've lived my life. You go ahead. And the Boy Scout said, Father, don't worry. The smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack. Thank you. We're looking at Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. And it's interesting because when we take a look at repetition, or we could even say like in television programming, you know, TV was developed in 1927. And well over 50 years now, they're playing a lot of the reruns, isn't it? We call them reruns, repetition. You could take a look and say, I've seen this episode, your favorite program. He's like, yes, I've seen them all. There's nothing new. And it is interesting because they've done a survey. What are the top 10 reruns or repetitions when people see that? Here are just four. I won't go into detail. The number one, MASH. Number two, I Love Lucy. Number three, All in the Family. And my all-time score, four, Sesame Street. Isn't that great, huh? I've seen them all. And so when we look here, we're taking a look at something that's happening with Abraham because Abraham is a star. He has received great promises from God. He's been in battles and see God win it for him and win everything else. He's called the friend of God. But somewhere in chapter 20, he takes things back into his own hands and does things there. So it's important that we take a look here because today's message is dealing with the power of unchecked sin. We're going to see something that resurrects its head once again in Abraham's life. Something that he did 25 years ago, and now it's coming back. It's amazing how sin is. Sin will come in ways that we just don't anticipate. And Satan wants to really steal, as Jesus said, kill and to destroy. So it's important when a person says, man, I've got this pattern going on. I've got this habit that's happening. And we just deal with it forcefully, firmly. It's important. And we're going to see how that rolls out right now. So, in the meantime, let's look at Genesis chapter 20. Let's go at verse 1 and 2, our first point. The sin is repeated. Verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now let's pause there just for a moment, because what Abraham is doing, he's lying again. There was another episode back 25 years ago when they were fleeing, remember that? A famine, they were in Egypt, and Pharaoh says, "I like this girl. That's my sister." And you remember that saga? He lied at that time. Here they are, and he lies again. "This is my sister." We recognize, well, it's kind of a part lie, but it's an intent to deceive. What's interesting about this, we have Abraham has a new name. God's given him a new name, but he has an old nature. And what's happening here is how it comes along and resurrects itself. He's even commended and born again. Let's say that, because in Genesis 15:6, remember, Scripture says he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So he's right on. But he's got a nature like we do that's called flesh, still fallen. And that's the eye-opener for Christians. If they've never realized that, man, there has a new nature when you give your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes on. It's like, yes, I want to live for God. But there's something called your human flesh that is very capable of gravitating to the easy life of sin. Matter of fact, Galatians 5:17 says this. It's another translation. Let me read it to you. It says, "The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires." And those two forces are constantly fighting against each other. So if you're a Christian, and how this works, you prayed for Christ to come into your life, wash clean, baby. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are destined for heaven. It's that easy. It's like the, remember the thief on the cross? "Oh, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus says, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." But for those that still linger on this planet, we are struggling with what's called a sin nature. And though you love God with all your heart, there's still these two opposing natures that will not coexist. Either one's going to be in operation and the other is out of commission, or you take a siesta from God and the other comes into operation and the other's out of commission. Still born again, still have your name written in heaven, but you can be a shipwreck here on earth. So when we look here, we're dealing with that. That's important. So I know that there can be times that people can be imbalanced. It's an interesting story. This guy named Daniel Hugin, in his trial in 1968. It's a noteworthy trial. He was convicted of murder, but his defense went into checking out DNA. And they had Daniel Hugin researched, and they realized he has an extra Y chromosome. So his defense said, because he is unusual and has this extra Y chromosome, he has this amazing predisposition to murder people. It's just in him to murder. So when we look at this, that it was amazing. Now the courts ruled that, well, though he is, yes, unusual, and oh yeah, yes, he has some disabilities, it did not cause him to murder. So he was convicted. He just had a lighter sentence. Isn't it interesting? Well, we are really have some displaced elements. I am imbalanced. You say, "Oh, I knew he was going to confess to that one day." Yeah, that sin nature in me. I wish I have more problems with my own human sickness of sin than the devil. It's amazing what trips me up. And we have to be careful about that. It's your sinful nature that says, "I want to be able to love God with all my heart." And then 6 months later, something shifts. "I want to get into the Word, man. I hunger for the Word." But we say, "You know what? I think I want to check the newspaper or watch Fox News. I don't know. I'd probably check out the news so I know how to pray." You know how that rolls. "Oh, I want to go to church faithfully. I'll be there. It's my New Year resolution." And then something, I don't know. I really need to be well rested for Monday's workload. You know that story where the mom goes in, son, get up. It's time to go to church. Oh, mom, why do we have to go to church? It's Sunday. Why, mom? Give me another reason. Because you're the pastor. Get up. It's just those times. Now, something else on these first two verses here, if you look, because it says here, verse 1, and Abraham journeyed from there to the south, and he comes into Gerar, which really is, you take a look, it's in the area of the Negev. He is not as far down as he once was in Egypt, but he's in enemy territory. That's important. When the Holy Spirit starts to edit things, like, where is that? That's why when you go with us to Israel, you say, man, I read something about it. Is that where this happened? And he's in the Philistine territory. And he's dealing with something. He says, you know, if we get into trouble, I'm just going to go at it the old way that I used to. Now, when we get into trouble, Bible says a lot about fleeing temptation. Isn't it true? Just be careful, flee temptation. But there are certain places that as believers, we just don't want to go south on. You just know. You just don't do that anymore. They're just stores we don't go into, and if we go into certain stores, you don't go into that section. And if you were going to go and watch television, you certainly don't watch that program at that late night time or online or reading certain things. You just know you just don't go there. So those are obvious things, but those things happen. Some Christians, seriously, well, I know I'm born again. I wonder how close I can get to that and still be a Christian. It really is kind of like a game. I'm going for that, and I think I'm going to be okay. And that's kind of what Abraham's doing. We don't know why he's going south. There's no clue. We just know he's going there. So as he does, he has some problems. I like what Wilbur Chapman said. My life, he says, is governed by a single rule. Here it is. Anything that dims my vision of Christ, anything that takes away my taste for Bible study, anything that cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me, and I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. Wow, that must have been a hot, great day for Wilbur. But you know, things get pressed. I'm sure we've all had that. Man, I'm sold out. But sometimes we go south. See how close we can get. Point number two, the Spirit of God to the rescue. I always like that. I always like happy ending. We're going to see a happy ending, but check it out with me. Let's go to verse 3. Genesis 20, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream. Now, Abimelech is the ruler. Abimelech is a title, like Pharaoh is a title in Egypt. Abimelech is the ruler who has now taken Sarah become his wife. Now it's interesting, if you look here at verse 3, there's two words, but God. Now I really like that, don't you? It's an amazing thing. That but God is listed 45 times in Scripture. God comes on the scene, but God. That's an important phrase. There's a couple of noteworthy ones. I like it. Remember when Joseph finally meets his brothers who sold him off into slavery? He says, hey, brothers, you meant this for evil against me, but God meant it to the saving of many lives. Glory to God. My favorite is Ephesians 2, 1 through following. But you who were dead in trespasses and in sin and walked according to the course of this world, but God says, who's rich in mercy and love, it's come. It's amazing, but God. So I like that. It's just something you take a look. I've even highlighted that. Can you see that little, but God? I just like that. Lord, give me another, but God. There are those times that are important. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are dead, man, because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, he's my brother. And in the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him, in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Man. Now, take a look at this. I feel bad for Abimelech, and there's a number of readings. I was like, hello? Poor guy. Just a little side note. Now, when this 30 years ago in Genesis 12, when they did this little lying, scheming thing with Pharaoh, Sarah was 60. 30 years now, she's 90. I'm thinking, what does she see or he see in her? It's worth noting. I don't know. It could have been something, but there are some Hebrew writings that say that really Sarah had the possessed beauty of Eve and said she was a very attractive woman, probably looked great even at age 90. Isn't that great? But I really think that there's an element here, because it really comes down, because Abraham was wealthy, a man of prominence, what they did in those days, they made alliances with people. And they really just said, well, we're going to become family now. We're going to become friends. Why don't we intermarry? That's probably what the situation is. But it's worth noting she's 90 and he wants her to marry anyway. But in the meantime, take a look here, because Abraham messed up royally. And it's interesting to note, because Abimelech and his household suffers. Let's take a look at that for a moment. God, he's right with God. God even says he's a prophet. But when a Christian is not walking in obedience with the Lord, people suffer. Everybody catch what I'm saying? Matter of fact, the scripture very clearly says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16 or 3:6 and 1 Timothy 6:5, that when you have a Christian that is disobedient, don't associate, don't even have a meal with them. Isn't that amazing? Because they can affect things in that environment. I didn't say that. God's word did. So when you see here, Abraham messed up, Abimelech and his home is suffering. Wow. There's a story about 13 ministers on board an airplane. And they're going to convention. The plane engines are failing. One of the ministers said, Miss Stewardess, come here. Would you go up to the cockpit and tell the pilot that you're going to be okay, because there's 13 ministers on this flight. She goes up, comes back. Did you tell him? What did he say? Well, the pilot said he was happy 13 ministers are on the plane, but he'd rather have 4 engines that work. So when we take a look at that, isn't it interesting? It could be the same thing when you say, man, we got a minister going on here. Let's welcome the prophet of God. But what if they did the same thing for Jonah when he got on that boat? Woohoo! The prophet of God's with us on this boat. We're going to have smooth sailing with Jonah, baby. Huh? No way. You get the point. So a Christian that is disobedient with God could actually gum up the works considerably. And Abraham is doing that right here. So it's important. I remember, matter of fact, 37 years ago, this Wednesday is Ainsley and my wedding anniversary. Isn't that nice? Thank you. Thank you. It's all her credit. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, all you happily married people. I appreciate that. What is important, I remember it was 5-year anniversary, and we went to Pismo Beach. We always like to get away just for a little bit, even if it's overnight. It's one of my favorite holidays. And we were in McClintock's restaurant, and I don't know if they still serve you for your choice with the meal, either a scoop of ice cream or liqueur. And I said, I'd like to try that liqueur. It doesn't look like, I'm going to try that. And then we were talking about it, Ainsley and I. What if we know somebody here and they see us sippity-supping on this thing? I don't think there's anybody here. Well, we decided, as we just remembered, Romans 14, 12 or 14, 21, that literally says it's good neither to eat meat nor drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to be offended or made weak or is stumbled. So I went for the vanilla ice cream. And as soon as I started to scoop that vanilla, here comes this family. Oh, Pastor Paul and Nancy, what a coinky dink. What are you doing here? Oh, isn't that amazing? Well, that's my story. But it is good to be able. Man, I don't want anybody to stumble. I want to walk in obedience. I've often told you that, man, it's, you know, if I went on some long hiatus away from God, my own kids and grandkids, they'd be crushed, let alone the church I love. What happened to Paul? Why did he do that? Point number three, the saint gets rebuked. The saint gets rebuked. And by an unbelieving politician. Check out verse 8. Check out verse 8. Still with me? Genesis 20. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing. And the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" You can see Abimelech, he's ticked off. You're like, "I'm going to take you by the scruff of your neck and we're going to put you to the goalpost. What are you thinking?" He probably did do that. But he's upset. What were you thinking? What did you have in view? In other words, you're trying to ruin me in a stealth way. It's amazing that he gets rebuked like that. Now, I would do my devotions and I always fit in a proverb. There's 31 Proverbs, and I read a proverb according to the calendar date. I thought this will fit perfect. Proverbs 25, 26, write that down. It says, "A righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring in a polluted well." Well, Abraham, he's the man of faith. He's called the friend of God, and he stumbled. And he's doing some things that are very, very causing great harm. It's interesting because Abraham comes up with his answers. Let's lay it out for you because it's the following of verse 11. There's three areas. There's a few things revealed here that I thought were, hey, this will preach. And here it is. It really is. This is what Abraham, this is his excuse to Abimelech. And the first one is a false assumption. Look at verse 11. "And Abraham said, 'Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife.'" Now, a false assumption. He's literally saying, "You guys are all sinners. I know that, man. If you find out you want something, you'll just kill me." Now, you know, assumptions are the lowest form of communication. Why do I say that? That lowest form, that means you just come to your own conclusion without investigation. So if you ever have a relationship with anybody, you ever have any association, and they're just getting ticked off, irritated, what's going on? And then they finally tell you what they're thinking. Why didn't you bring this to me? So that's what he's doing. Another one, let's take a look. Next verse, verse 12. I call it the faulty assertion. "But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife." Now, he gave a little truth. "My half-sister." But he left off something. "She's my wife." How many know that might help? So when you take a look at this faulty assertion, to use truth to deceive is not a good thing. You say, "Well, that doesn't seem like it was all that bad. It's like a 1.2 lie." But it's a problem here because there's an intent to deceive. You can see what's going on here. Now, number three is the kicker because this is the failed action. This action they put in motion 30 years ago that they would lie about being brother or sister. Now look at verse 13. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, Sarah, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother. So 30 years ago, they had this condition, this compact. This is what we're going to do. Wherever we go and we feel threatened, you lie and say, I'm your brother. And she does that. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, and she herself said, he's my brother. So isn't that amazing? Now, what is noteworthy here, because this failed action, when we come along and we start dealing with ways, when God causes us to wander, he says, God's causing me to wander, and I'm getting a little nervous. And if we ever get into trouble, we're going to revert back to this lie. So, honey, let's marry. I do. You do, oh, you do. Okay. And remember, if we ever get in trouble, you lie, I'll lie. Doesn't that sound wrong? So you can see here that something's happening. It's amazing to me. It's been 30 years of fellowship with God, unbroken compact. God's given him battles and victories, great things. We've all had great things. But because of this covenantal agreement, they go back to a lie. There have been times in my 33 years of senior pastoring, another 9 of just volunteering myself in ministry, you come across people and say, what? How come we can't get over this? What is in your background? And then you start to say, well, it's time to give up the astrology signs. It's time to give up this pursuit that you had that you know God wasn't there. It's time to give up the area of reading tarot cards. It's time to give up where you feel you're going to talk your way out of problems because you've always been a good salesman. It's your time that you deliver this to God and sell out completely and don't keep it in your pocket when times get tough. It'll cause you to become something that you're not. So you see, that's what's going on here. 30 years, and he never made a break from that. We're going to keep this deal. Wow, it's an amazing, unbroken. So when we deal with this, I find it's interesting because there's a difference between a lighthearted admission and a brokenhearted confession. So Abraham's kind of like giving this lighthearted admission. Yeah, I did this. Let me just tell you. Now, he's being pretty honest. I do like that, don't you? But he comes along. There's a difference between a wholehearted, brokenhearted confession. If you want to know what that like, check out Psalm 51. Just go ahead and review that a little bit later, Psalm 51, when David commits adultery and hides it with murder. And the prophet actually has to wake him up because he's living life, but it's not too good. So then his heart is broken. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So I've discovered that when believers fall, it's usually in areas that were weak spots to begin with. They've had troubles in that before. It's never something new. It's always something that they've fallen in before. They've not dealt with it. They'd rather kind of neutralize it, allow it to grow maybe a little bit here and bring it back, grow, bring it back. But friends, that's important to recognize. We want to deal with it. When we come across and say, I just can't believe that dude did that. I can't believe that pastor succumbed to that. I can't believe that wonderful, godly woman did that. And usually what happens, it's just something that's gone unchecked. It's just festered, and Satan comes along, and he's just waiting for an opportunity for each and every one of us because of that dual nature in us, that born-again, God-like nature, in that fallen, sinful nature. That's why even like 1 Peter 5:8 says that your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion and he's waiting, ready to pounce on you. So that's important. Remember when Jesus was tempted, it's in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. You may want to write it down. Satan is tempting Jesus. And it says, and he departed, Satan departed from Jesus for a more opportune time. Probably it was while he was facing the cross. You say, hey, I'm feeling good. Nobody's problem. Nobody's issues. I'm good. Well, the works of darkness knows where to push your button. Mine too. So what affects you, no big deal to me. What affects me, trips me up into my flesh. You say, oh man, why would that be a problem to anybody? But we have to be careful. Talked about a deacon who went to the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and he always came into the prayer meeting, oh God, clear the cobwebs in my head. Next Wednesday, oh God, clear the cobwebs in my head. Finally, the guy couldn't take it anymore. He said, oh Lord, don't clear the cobwebs. Kill that spider. That's it. deal with the issue. Because a thought reaps an action, and an action reaps a habit. And when you get habits going, that becomes your lifestyle. And when we do your eulogy, it could be what we know of you. So make choices now for God. Make right choices for God. What is it that you're doing now? We'll be talking about it later when we're waving you off to heaven. Finally, number four, the servant is restored. Let's just take a look. I love that element. Servant is restored. Let's look at verse 14. Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham. And he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Then Sarah, he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus, she was rebuked. So she got her a comeuppance. So Abraham prayed to God. God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Well, it's interesting to note, I do believe Abraham confessed his sins before the Lord, got it right. How do I know? I just take one assumption. God answered his prayer. When Abraham prayed for Abimelech, he healed the household. Because Psalm 66, 18 and 19, go ahead, write it down. Psalm 66, 18 and 19 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. And Abimelech gives him gifts. Pretty awesome. Pretty amazing. And I just want to add, too, just in case you were to think that somehow maybe God will pull me out, and it's okay. I'll just kind of do a little bit of thinning here and get a pattern there. And this is, I love how the Lord always works out the detail, don't you? Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all these things, being confident, all these things work together for good to those who love God. See, it worked out good for Abraham. But he didn't go away unscathed. Let me just cite some because I think it's worth noting, because there can be those times I think, well, I wonder if I could be a little bit sinister here and get away with it. God will restore. For Abraham, his witness was marred because he now has a pattern of being a liar. You know, when a person has been caught even in one lie, it's challenging because the person starts to say, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. Boy, when trust is breached, that's a very hurtful thing. Also, his ministry was marred. You remember when God told him in Genesis 12, I'm telling you, Abraham, you're going to be a blessing. All the families of the earth will be blessed. But he brought a curse to Abimelech's home. So it wasn't a perfect setting. And then finally, his future was marred. You take a look a little bit later in Genesis 26. Guess who follows dad's pattern, like father, like son? Isaac does the same thing about his wife. This is my sister, to Abimelech, another ruler. Isn't that amazing? So God is so gracious. Let me just have you close your eyes for a moment. Let's let the Holy Spirit work in just a way. I want to have you just close your eyes. And if there are things that are going on right now that you just feel like God is speaking to you specifically, and you who are watching in the comfort of your own dwelling place. You need to even close your eyes and don't let visuals distract you. And Holy Spirit, speak to us. Where is that place that we really haven't dealt with finality? Lord, where is that place that you have told us, I want you to lay that down. Lay that down. You've gone and picked it up. Or where is that place where our arms are so full we can't fit in time for God, and you've asked us to measure things out and come to spend time with you, Almighty God? What do we have to pick up? What do we have to let loose in order to be fully yours? Lord, we welcome you. Lord, we welcome you. No more repetition. Lord, we know your mercy is great and you always make our life work out, but we do not want to influence and corrupt people we love and our friends because we're disobedient. Lord, today's a day we will be obedient. We stand in victory. Matter of fact, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to just even pray, and we're going to believe the Lord to do a great work of his grace.
There's a table that you prepared for me. Presence of my enemy. It's your body and blood you shed for me. And this is how I fight my battle. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my is how. Sing in the valley. In the valley I know that you're with me, and surely your goodness and mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. Oh,
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.